Yeah, it's a line of scrimmage game, Sal. It is every week, but in particular this week, we've got to make sure we establish a line of scrimmage on the offensive side and make sure that, you know, defensively that we play really well at the line of scrimmage and good run fundamentals. So this is going to be a big challenge against a team that has played extremely well at home, and their losses, they've lost by 8 points or less. So a team that's used to playing complete full games, and we have to continue to prepare that way.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott from, I think that sounds like his appearance with Sal Capaccio earlier this morning on the Extra Point Show. McDermott is a weekly guest, 10:45. It floats, but sometime between 10 and noon, he's on every week with Sal. And it's a good listen because, if nothing else, you get the first word on who may be in or out. Like, if guys are ruled out, oftentimes where we first find out about that is with McDermott talking to Sal on that show. So we already know no Keon Coleman. That's a tough one. It might be a couple of weeks, maybe hope for him after the bye. I don't know. They're still sort of leaving the IR option out there. I guess it's feasible that something could happen between now and game time Sunday that makes them feel like he's probably going to miss four games. Let's just IR him and free up a roster spot. But so far they haven't done that, and I think the hope is that he won't actually miss four games. So hopefully that ends up being the case. The bigger issue for Sunday, not that Keon Coleman being out isn't a big issue, but we know it. It's definitive. He's out. Is Amari Cooper. Don't know like what's going to happen there, but the Bills receiving core is stretched pretty thin at this point. You take those two guys off the top of it. Again, that's not to assume Cooper will be out, but I don't know. I'm just one guy. I'm not optimistic. With the way the week has gone and seeing what the brace he was wearing on his hand looked like yesterday when he was limited in practice again, I feel like it's trending the wrong way there. I could be wrong, but if they both miss, you're talking about Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Jalen Virgil, Mac Hollins, and then another practice squad elevation, which is either Deion Kane or Terrell Shavers or KJ Hamler. That's your receiving core. I mean, I'm not busting on Matt Parrino by saying this, but when you're hoping to unlock Curtis Samuel as an answer for your passing game, I'm really worried about where we're at. And I wouldn't have thought that back in March when they signed him or in August when the season was just ramping up. I remember talking in the summer, Nate, like, oh, he's got turf toe. What does that mean? Do they have another guy that can even do all the things they want him to do? And he's a ghost. I mean, he just does not exist.
Again, his name is Curt Samuel as far as I is, because Curtis Samuel is not, I don't know. I still feel like there's got to be something. There's got to be an underlying injury. Something's going on that we're not all privy to, because it just doesn't make sense. He's not even providing the production he did last year in an offense that was not good. And he was the number three receiver in that offense last year. It's not like he was going from a team where he was the number one receiver. He's the number three, number four here. He's not seeing any of similar production. It's been a disappointing signing, to say the least.
Yeah, I mean, I think one comparison you might have been hoping would be apt was he's Isaiah McKenzie, but just, you know, more, right? Just like more productive Isaiah McKenzie, like similar role, but we're just going to lean on it more. Jet sweeps and handoffs and bubble screens. And then, you know, oh, you think we're only going to use him like this? Oh, let's get him down the field because he still has decent speed. I mean, it just is not anything there. So, 12 catches on the year is the number. 19 targets. I mean, just the snap count is bad. It's just been a brutal first half of the season for him.
If there's a time it's going to turn around, feels like it's now or never for him.
Right.
Now or never.
Yeah.
And if it's never, I don't think he sees year two of that contract, right?
I am inclined to agree with that. Yes.
Like, it just seems like another example of every year they tried to fill this role, and then they don't use the role. Like, it's like an important thing to them. We're going to bring back Isaiah McKenzie. And then who was it last year?
Well, Nyheim Hines was sort of similar.
And then who was last year? The punt return guy from Miami. I can't even remember his name.
Oh, Deonte Hardy.
Deonte Hardy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's way faster than McKenzie.
Yeah. And he can play. He can do things. He can't.
It is the kind of thing. Like, I'm not one whose faith in the organization gets shook relatively easily. Like, we're living through one of the greatest iterations of this football team we're ever going to see.
It's the second best decade of football this team will have had in its franchise history.
So, like, I find it hard to be like, oh, Bean can't draft. They have developed a ton of guys. Do they have their share of misses? Of course they do.
Everybody does.
Samuel is one that, and everything you just said about the history of their desire for that guy, right? Recognizing that Hines and Samuel aren't exactly running the same race. But it was a similar type of thing. We really want this. We value this. We want it. We think we need it. We're definitely going to use it. And then it's time to take the wrappers off. And like, well, what are we doing here? Did we really have a plan for this? Or did someone just sort of, not to make waves, just like, not okay, sure, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. But in their heart of hearts, they're like, I don't have any idea what I'm going to do with this guy. Because it just doesn't make sense. You've got the connection between Brady and Samuel from Carolina to begin with, when Brady was first in the NFL, in between that stint at LSU. And it just doesn't really, I know it was after the stint at LSU. But anyway, the point is, you would think they would have found a way to launch this. And so, I don't know. If it does happen at some point, then a lot of us who are talking like I'm talking right now are going to go, okay, so he was hurt then. And maybe that is just the simple explanation. He was never really 100%, so they slow played him until they felt like he was finally ready, and now here we go. I mean, I don't know. That just seems, I mean, we're 9 games in. We're not 2 games in. And I just feel like that feels like wishful thinking and far-fetched at this point. I feel like it's almost a total loss at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it certainly has been so far for the money. Again, it's not astronomical money, but considering how economical-minded they were in this offseason, both with players leaving and dead money and with who they signed because of it, Samuel was a commitment for them. And it still kind of blows my mind that it's just not getting off the air. Another thing that could shake you a little in a similar type way is how they have been using Kincaid. That has not felt like fully blooming at any point yet. And we're halfway through year 2 now. And so that's another guy that, you know, if you want to see someone step into the void created by a Coleman absence and a potential Cooper absence, how about Dalton Kincaid? How about like getting my athletic tight end freed up to do some things in this game against the Colts too? I mean, I respect that they're bad against the run, so the Bills might run it a lot in this game, and their personnel, especially at receiver being compromised, could lead you in that direction. But like, Kincaid is certainly someone who's capable of having a big game. We just haven't really seen it at all yet. So, I don't know, maybe Sunday's a day for Dalton Kincaid.
I would welcome that.
I feel like that's more realistic than Samuel.
I will say, though, their linebackers, you know, EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin are two very good pass defending zone linebackers. That defense may leave a little bit to be desired in the run game against the run, but man, EJ Speed has really turned into a nice piece of them. They had Shaq Leonard and Zaire Franklin, and it looked like they were going to have a wicked duo. And then Shaq Leonard, you got the injuries. He's done. He's retired out of the NFL. And this guy walked in and is replaced them and has been really, really good for Indianapolis. So if I were a betting man, I think you're going to need a receiver to step up. I think Khalil Shakir could end up with his biggest target share of the season, and he's coming off 2 weeks ago in Seattle where he had a really great game as well.
You are listening to the Dunn Tire Drive at 5, part of our Football Friday coverage. We'll take a timeout here. We come back. Nate Geary and I will take a dash around the league and cover some of the big stories that are going on. And we'll see whether we're buying or selling or skeptical about Nico Collins being activated. I mean, he's activated. Whether he plays on Sunday is another thing. He just returned to practice today. We'll cover that and more right after this as we continue here on WGR.